Well, good morning, everybody. Okay, it is such a joy to be with you, the Lebanon Valley Church of Christ. See, I said that right. I finally learned how to say Lancaster, okay, instead of Lancaster like it is in California. So, but it's really great to be with you all today, and I was honored to be invited here, and I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone. If you have a copy of God's Word, you can take that out and turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 8 through 23 here in just a few moments. You've also been given an outline that has some blanks for you to fill in, and a lot of the scriptures we'll be referring to are printed on it. It'll help you follow along as we talk about today, open your eyes to God's possibilities. You know, the first thing I want to tell you today is I know that transition in a ministry staff for a church can be a challenging, difficult, and stressful process for any congregation to go through. And to be on your side of this situation and to be on my side of this situation is not easy. Because I know it's a very important decision. And so what I would like to encourage you all today to do is to relax. Amen. Just take a deep breath and let's put it all in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father, right? He has a plan. You know, He's the one that brought this church together so many years ago. And He loves it even more than you do. And it's interesting, there's a great scripture, Psalm 25, verse 14 said, "The Lord confides in those who fear Him." The Lord confides in those who fear Him. That's not on the outline, so don't... I tricked you. That's not in there. But He tells us what we need to know. And so the answers that we seek today, He is going to give us. But to the search team and to all of you who have made Laura and I feel so welcome and so at home, I say thank you. You have certainly fulfilled the scripture that I heard that this young girl on a college campus used to move her relationship forward with her boyfriend. She was at one of the Christian universities and she was dating a Bible major, and she was a faithful Christian girl as well. And this was a very spiritual young man who loved to study and discuss the Word of God and was committed to having a scripture for anything he did in his life. And as I said, the girl he was dating was also a faithful Christian. But after several months of dating, when he would drop her off at the door of the dorm, he would just stick his hand out to shake hands and shake her hand goodnight. And this went on for months and months and months. But the thing was, the boy really wanted to kiss her goodnight, but he couldn't find a scripture authorizing it. So he kept searching and digging, and finally he came across Romans 16:16, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. And he thought, okay, now I've got it. But he wanted to be sure, so he went to one of his Bible professors and said, you know, Romans 16:16, does that authorize me to kiss my girlfriend goodnight? And he said, well, not really. You know, in the ancient church, that was kind of a friendly greeting, almost like a handshake. And so, the boy was really disappointed, but he determined to keep studying. And so that night, he went out on another date with the girl, and when they got to the door, he stuck his hand out, and she threw his arms around him and planted a juicy Hollywood kiss right on his lips. And he kind of stumbled back and said, sister, what's our scriptural authorization for this? And she said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, you have certainly applied that scripture differently to Laura and I, but you have done to others as you would have them do unto you. Something else I believe about our time here together is this is no accident. I really don't believe that you are here simply because you said, well, today, you know, I think I'll go to the Lebanon Valley Church of Christ. I'm just going to go to church today. Nor am I here by accident. I think the Lord has brought us together for a reason. And that is to speak to our hearts through His Word. I believe that the Scripture we're going to unpack today is going to have you leaving this place with more joy, more peace, more comfort, and more hope than you came in with. Now, I know a lot of you are struggling. You're saying, Jim, wait a minute, more joy? You got to be kidding me. Do you know how many problems I have in my life? Do you know what's going on in my life right now? Do you know how long I've been struggling with my addiction or my depression or the bitterness that I feel toward the other people in my life who hurt me? Do you have any idea the obstacles and heartaches and sickness that I've been through? And I would say, no, I don't. You're right. But this is what I do know, that you and I serve a God who is bigger and stronger and greater than any of those things. Amen. And any other difficulty that we will ever face in this world. I know sometimes you're tempted to say, well, Jim, under these circumstances, how can I help but be upset and down and discouraged? And I would say, that's the point. The Lord doesn't want us to live under the circumstances. He wants us to rise above them. That is what faith is all about. Now, you probably noticed on the outline and on the PowerPoint that there are some people there watching a movie wearing 3D glasses, okay? How many of you have ever worn 3D glasses and watched a movie that way? All right. Yeah, a number of you. What do they do? Tough question here on a Sunday morning. What do the 3D glasses do? They enable you to see something that you cannot see with your naked eye. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, that's exactly what faith does. Faith empowers us to see a dimension, to see a reality, to see a power that we can't see with the naked eye. Now, before we get into a practical example from that, from the Old Testament, I think it's important to define our terms, especially faith, because it's so misunderstood. All right, take a look at your outline. What is faith? Well, the Hebrew letter gives us a beautiful description of faith, if not a working definition. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it's printed on your outline. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Okay, now here's my little personal interpretation or application of that, also on your outline. Faith is choosing to see my entire life, including my personality, my dreams, my circumstances, my problems, my relationships, even my destiny, not as it is, but as it can be, with the intervention of the power and wisdom of God. Friends, faith is a whole new and different way of looking at things. Faith is the ability to see God, His power, His presence, His purpose, and therefore His possibilities in every situation. So let me tell you what I see today through the eyes of faith in this congregation right here. Some of you came in here today carrying a huge, back-breaking burden of guilt and shame over your past. I see you leaving this place today feeling forgiven and filled with hope. I see some marriage and families here in this congregation that are broken and falling apart that are going to be restored with new love, new peace, new harmony. There are those here who have been shattered by the grief of the terrible loss of someone you love, and you think that your life is over and your world has ended. You're going to leave here with new comfort. I see people who have been imprisoned by depression, enslaved by addictions, fear, and insecurities, being freed from that bondage and feeling happy for the first time in years. And you may be thinking to yourself, Jim, how can you say that? How can you possibly know that? Well, I can tell you it's not because this message is so good or that what I'm going to say is so good, but rather because our God is so great. That's why. He has ideas and solutions and answers and alternatives and possibilities for your impossible situations that you've never dreamed of. Friends, if he could literally speak this universe into existence, he's got enough power left to help you and me today. But often it's a matter of opening our eyes and seeing things differently through the eyes of faith. Okay, now to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. And what I'd like to do is read the entire text, and then we'll come back and break it down, okay? Often, the people of God, Israel, was at war with its enemies, and this is no exception. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on that place indicated by the man of God, and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will someone tell me which of you is helping the king of Israel? Who here is on his side?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. Then the servant of the man of God got up, went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward them, Elisha prayed, "Lord, strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After he entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father?" "No." Verse 22, "Do not kill them," he said. "Would you kill men you capture with your own sword or bow? Instead, set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. This is not just a great story about how God helped his people win a be victorious in a battle in ancient times. This provides us with practical guidelines for you and I to follow to be victorious every day in the moral, spiritual, and psychological battles that we face. How can we do that? Okay, look on your outline, number two, the big point number two. How can you and I open our eyes to God's possibility? First thing, you and I must open our eyes to the practical wisdom of God's Word. Did you notice something there? God was revealing to his people special intelligence insights to give them advantage over their enemies, to help them manage their problems more effectively, to just generally live more successfully. Boy, don't you wish God did that in the 21st century? Or does He? The great news is He does, through the prophets of His Word. Look at on your outline, at Psalm chapter 119, verses 98 through 101. Great scripture. He says, "Your laws never leave my mind, and they make me wiser than my enemies. Thinking about your teachings gives me better understanding than my teachers. Obeying your laws makes me wiser than those who have lived a long time. I obey your word instead of following a way that leads to trouble." You want to stay one step ahead of your enemies? You want to have a more joyful attitude? You want to be a more kind and generous person? You want to manage your stress more effectively? You want to make better decisions with money? You want to save your marriage? You want to be a better parent to your child? Take every opportunity available to hear and study and internalize the wisdom of God's Word. Folks, this book is a supernatural book. Amen? Filled with supernatural wisdom and peace and encouragement, supernatural comfort, healing, and strength you can find nowhere else. First, open your eyes to what God is trying to tell you through it. Number two, second way to see God's possibilities is to open your eyes to the only one who can help you, who has the power to help you in your need, and that's Almighty God. I love, you know, Elisha's servant, the question he asked, "Oh Lord, what do we do?" Small L, right? He was talking to Elisha. That's a great question. Lord, what are we going to do? Here's a better question. What is Almighty God going to do in all of our situations? Today, do you feel surrounded, outnumbered, overwhelmed by your enemies, problems, and obstacles? What we need to stop doing is stop focusing on the size of our problems and start focusing on the size of our God. Amen? Magnify Him and not the enemy. Because here's the point. The bigger He becomes, the smaller everything else gets. And instead of saying, "Lord, I don't see how you could ever forgive me for that abortion or that divorce or all those lies or the mess I've made of my life," instead of saying, "You know, nothing good ever happens to me. I'm not going to amount to anything. I'll never stop drinking, never have a happy marriage, never get out of debt." Instead of saying those things, say, "With my God, nothing is impossible. I am loved and forgiven by Him. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength." Oh, I love this. Isaiah 54, verse 17 is on your outline. "So no weapon that is used against you will defeat you. You will show that those who speak against you are wrong. These are the good things my servants receive. Their victory comes from me, says the Lord." Okay? Open your eyes to the only one who has the power that you need to be victorious. Friends, you'll never face any enemy that God hasn't already defeated, any problem He hasn't already solved, and any obstacle He hasn't already overcome. Number three, another way to see God's possibilities is to open your eyes to the constant presence of God. Go back to verse 16. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let me ask you something. Did the Lord put all those horses and chariots of fire there just for the servant's benefit, or had they always been there? they'd always been there. There wasn't a time when they weren't there. And right now, you may feel like your life, your family, your spirit, your career, your finances, your very sanity is surrounded, under siege by an enemy that looks completely overwhelming to you. Impossible problems, and there's no way out. Let me tell you something. Our God specializes in making a way where there is no way. And right now, no matter where you are, God is saying, don't be afraid. Those who are with you are more than those who are with them. Open your eyes to what God is doing for you. It's not on your outline, but I love the scripture anyway. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Who is that? That's you and that's me. At any given moment in our lives, there may be hundreds, even thousands of powerful angels surrounding us and protecting us and supporting us. Sometimes you don't see them. Sometimes you do, though. Sometimes you'll see them in a loving church, in caring people who surround you and support you and help you through your trials. But here's the promise I want you to claim. Look at on your outline, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Friends, there will never be any place you will ever go in this life that God hasn't already been preparing the way. Often we seem like the little boy who was always being told by his mom to wash his hands because of germs. Wash your hands, wash your hands. He comes in for dinner one evening, and of course he is ordered to wash his hands, and his mom said, wash your hands to get the germs off. And he sits down at the table and says, germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I hear, and I've never seen either one of them. There are so many things in this life that we can't see with the unenhanced or unassisted eye, but we know they're there. Open your eyes to the constant, continual, comforting presence of God. Number four, open your eyes to the surprising ways, shocking ways, that God may choose to work in your life. Now let's go back to the battle plan. Let me just go way out on a limb and say that having the enemy struck blind, led into the city to sit down to a feast, be treated to a feast, and then sent on their way is not the standard battle plan, right? I mean, this must be one of the most unusual and surprising battles in history. But what happened? The attacks on God's people stopped. Now, what about your situation? Is God going to strike your enemies blind? I don't know. Maybe He will in the sense that they'll just look past you. They just won't see you anymore. Maybe they'll be distracted and looking in another direction. Maybe He'll help you make them a friend, or the Lord will give you additional strength and wisdom and courage you need to endure the attacks. I don't know. You don't know. But He knows. And I love the way the message paraphrases Isaiah 43, verse 19, which is on your outline. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. I love that. A road through the difficult desert. It's a way. It's an answer. And then there are rivers. There's resources. God supplies us the resources as we go. Something brand new. You know, God never closes one door without opening another. In fact, He can create a brand new door, a brand new way that you've never seen before, that wasn't there yesterday for you to walk through. What looks like the end of something in His creative hands can be the beginning of something new and better. And right now, what I see in you is God doing something He's never done before. Something you've never seen. Something you never thought was possible. A minister by the name of James Emery White writes a blog. And in one of his posts, he talks about a young woman who called him at the church office one day and said, "Well, I intended to put my offering in the plate last Sunday, but I didn't. Can I just bring it by for you? Give it to you?" And he said, sure, just bring it by. This was like a Thursday. So when she came by, she dropped it off at the front desk there in the office, and he was in a meeting, and so he didn't see it. So when he came out of the meeting and he went to the front office, he noticed this envelope. It kind of caught his attention, because it had a note attached to it that said, "Be careful, sharp objects inside." So Emery opened the envelope, and there was a plastic bag filled with razor blades and a letter. And this is what the letter said. "I've been coming to your church on and off now since I was in fifth grade, and now I'm 23. When I was 12 years old, I started cutting myself. My arms are covered with an overwhelming amount of scars. I haven't cut myself in probably a year now, but I still had razor blades hidden around my room. And I quit when I was about to cut one day, and I heard Jesus in my ear saying, 'I bled enough.' And He took my pain on the cross, and I no longer needed to take it out on myself. But I realized by holding on to razor blades, I'm not fully letting go of the pain and addiction to cutting, and I want to fully let it go now. It says in the Bible, 'Cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you.' So I'm doing that today. I'm offering Jesus more than any amount of money I could ever offer Him. These are all my razor blades that I've kept hidden around my apartment in different places, just in case. I'm handing it over to God and trusting you with it as well. Thank you for all that you and this church have done in my life." And Emery concludes his blog this way: "Now you know why I do what I do. And now you know why I do what I do. Because I see those kinds of victories on a regular basis. And today the Lord is saying to you through the prophet Elisha, don't you be afraid. Those who are with you are more than those who are with them." Friends, if you don't have that assurance, if you don't have that confidence, if you don't have that hope, I want to urge you, do not wait another day. Do not wait another hour. Do not wait another minute to give your life to Jesus Christ by faith and repentance, confession, and baptism. That's how you get in God's army. That's how you get in His camp. And you can leave here today a completely different person, with different power, different purpose, different peace. And we'd be glad to talk with you about that. Now, maybe you're a Christian who's struggling and you need a fresh infusion of God's Holy Spirit, a fresh infusion of faith and joy and peace in your life. I believe in the power of prayer. And the Bible says that the power of a righteous person is power, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. And we will pray for you. For whatever you need, just let us know what it is while we stand and sing.